1 Samuel chapter 10, verse number 8, this is Samuel speaking to King Saul. He says, "Thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do." And we know that Saul began to move that way, and he waited pretty close to the exact time. We'll pick the story up in chapter 13 and verse number 8. "And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, What hast thou done?" In other words, Saul didn't wait the complete time he should have upon Samuel to come. He began to get a little hasty. He began to feel the pressure of the Philistines closing in upon him. Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the day appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore," said I, "the Philistines will come down upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now will the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." I want to turn to Proverbs, read one verse. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 29. "He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly." Hasty of spirit. And I believe that's what King Saul was. Rather than wait on the man of God, he grew impatient. And I believe that the Lord wants me to warn about the dangers of impatience. Father, I pray that you might help us tonight to look into thy word. Father, I believe that you have given me a warning months, that you've allowed me to examine myself to see how impatient a man I have become. And God, daily I ask you, and again tonight, forgive me of my folly. Help me, Lord, I pray. And Father, many people say, "I do not pray for patience because tribulation worketh patience." But God, if we would examine our lives and know there are true dangers to impatience, help us, Lord. You're warning us now, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It seems like patience and impatience are playing a tug of war in our lives. Amen. I noticed myself that over a computer, I was struggling. I had a time for things to be done, and I was near approaching that time, and my computer was not responding as quickly as I needed it to. In fact, I even took the time to call the company over that, and I grew impatient as I waited on the phone. And then I grew impatient as I did not get the answer that I was looking for after I've spent my hard-earned money each and every month to make things work the way they need to work. If I'm getting through to anybody, say amen. And I began to get frustrated, so frustrated, I felt my blood pressure beginning to rise. No, you say, "Well, preacher, you're getting angry." No, I was getting frustrated. And I wanted to yank the computer out in the yard and beat it with a baseball bat. Saul grew impatient. And he would not wait on the man of God. He took matters into his own hands, and he got himself into trouble. I want to examine many of these tonight. Now, I remember there was a story about a truck driver who had went into one of these all-night restaurants in Nebraska. He stopped there, and he had ordered him a hamburger and some French fries and got him a drink. And as he was sitting there, three boys came in from a motorcycle gang, parked their motorcycles, came in. One of them saw him sitting there and grabbed his hamburger right off his plate, started to eat it. The other one grabbed the French fries and started eating his French fries, and the third one grabbed his drink. Bless God. Truck driver just got up, headed towards the cash register with his bill, very patiently and calmly, laid the money there, walked out and got in his truck. The cashier was, and the waitress was the same person. She was very impressed. She watched him as he left and went back to that motorcycle gang and began to take their order and said, "You know, your friend there is not much of a man, is he? Do you see how he got up and ran out?" She said, "I don't know about that, but he's not much of a truck driver either. He just ran over three motorcycles in the yard." You see, patience and impatience is always playing a tug of war within us. It seems like sometimes we can handle things very patiently, and just within a few moments, we're going to handle things very impatiently. Impatience is characterized by complaining and by criticizing. In comparison, that patience is characterized by composure and calmness. Impatience says, speed up, take the shortcut, use the quick fix. Patience says, slow down, do it right, find a long-term, long-lasting solution. Impatience says, I want it right now. Patience says, I can wait. It accepts difficult circumstances without deadlines. Impatience takes risks. Patience avoids hasty decisions. Impatience makes one hot-tempered and uncontrolled, while on the other hand, patience makes one even-tempered and self-controlled. Impatience leads to stress, while patience leads to rest. Impatience leaves one with a very short fuse, while patience makes one to be very long sufferings. There are some dangers to impatience. The first one is, when you act impatiently, it will lead you to make senseless statements. The book of Job, chapter number 2. We understand the trials that Job has endured in his life now. We understand that he has become bankrupt of all his possessions. We understand that his children, all 10 of them, have been killed, and he is very bereaved of all of his loved ones. And yet he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job did not charge God foolishly. In chapter 2 now, the devil has been given license to inflict sore boils upon the body of Job. And in chapter 2, verse 8, Job is seen out there sitting in the ashes where he used to worship and he used to sacrifice and he used to praise God. There he sits with a potsherd, which is broken pottery, scraping the infection out of those bowls. And in chapter 2, verse 9, listen to the impatience of his wife. Listen to her senseless statements. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. You see that? He did not grow impatient, but his wife did, and she made senseless statements. Have you ever done that, growing impatient and hasty, and you just began to mouth off something that you probably normally would have never done because of impatience in your life. Let's move quickly. Exodus chapter 32. The dangers of impatience will cause you to become short-sighted about your selections or your decisions. You will begin to live for the now and take the shortcuts rather than for the long run. In the book of Exodus chapter 32, we see Moses going up on God's mountain to receive the law. Verse 1, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, this man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And we know that Aaron formed a golden calf, and the people began to worship and frolic around that golden calf. And Joshua came and told Moses in verse 17, he said, there is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. See, they're having a party around that golden calf. They were tired of waiting on the man of God who was up there receiving the law of Almighty God. In verse 21, Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me, and I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. Holy cow. You'll get that in a minute. They grew impatient, and look at the short-sighted decision that they made. Look at verse 30. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, you have sinned a great sin, and now will I go up unto the Lord. Peradventure, I shall make an atonement for your sin. Their sin of impatience caused them to bow down before false gods. Look back in Genesis 25. Thirdly, the dangers of impatience will cause you to squander spiritual opportunities. We examine a young man by the name of Esau who had been out hunting that day, and he came back with nothing. And his brother was sodding pottage in verse 29. Jacob sod pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. He sold it for a bowl of pottage. A lot of people are selling the day of their birthright with the Lord, for a lot less than that. And I want to say to you that Esau was more concerned about feeding his belly than he was about spiritual matters. And impatience will cause you to do that. You will cut off what God wants you to have so you can make your flesh comfortable. Look over here with me and look at the disciples. You may say, preacher, those are Old Testament verses. Look in the book of Luke chapter number 9. And let's look at the disciples of Jesus. Luke chapter number 9. Jesus has got his face set towards Jerusalem. He's getting ready to head towards the cross. And he sent his disciples on ahead to make a way to go through the village of Samaria there, and asked if they could come through. Look with me in verse 51. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, and they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. See, the Samaritans and the Jews hate each other. And when they heard that Jesus was coming to their village, that's fine. But if he's passing through their village to get to Jerusalem, they said he's not coming through here. We will not allow it. The Bible said in verse 54, and when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elijah did? He said, let us call down the fire. We're going to burn them up. Impatient preachers. Not waiting on what the Lord wants to do. But he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. You could preach a lot right there. But I can take you to the book of Acts chapter 8 and tell you about a Philip, a great evangelist, who went out preaching and teaching in the village of Samaria, and thousands were saved and many were healed and a great revival broke out. What if James and John, acting impatiently, hastily, and rashly, had called down fire and burned up the village? Revival would have never broken out. Jesus did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Look back in the book of Numbers chapter 20, fourthly. I want you to see what impatience will do. It will cause you to sacrifice your future satisfaction. It will cause you to sacrifice the rewards and the blessings that God has waiting for you. We see in Numbers chapter number 20, we see a man by the name of Moses, whom God has greatly used to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt into the wilderness, and they would have went straight on over to the promised land, but the people complained and murmured against God, and now they spend 40 years wandering in the wilderness. God has fed them with quail, and he's given them water from the rock, amen. He has taken care of their shoes. He's taken care of the sunburn on their head. He has blessed them in all ways. But look what happens in Numbers chapter 20 and in verse number 10. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. You see, there was a time when they were thirsting that God told Moses to smite the rock, and when he smote the rock, out came water. This time, if you'll look back with me in verse number 8, this time as they're thirsting, God said to Moses and Aaron, I want you to speak to the rock. Why didn't they smite it again rather than speak to it? Hey, Jesus is that rock. Jesus is only smitten one time. He died one time for all times, amen. Hey, when Moses and Aaron were gathered there with that congregation and God told them to speak to the rock and God would give water, instead Moses and Aaron grew impatient. And they took the rod and they hit the rock. They smote it twice. And out came water, sure enough, to take care of the people. But God said, because of this, you have forfeited your future blessings of entering into the promised land. What cost him? Disobedience and impatience. I want to say to you, you're a whole lot more impatient than you think you are. Turn back with me to the book of Genesis chapter 16. Along those same lines, but this time, what will you growing impatient do? It will begin to stir strife in your life. God had promised Abraham that he would have a child, an heir, and God would bless through that great heir God gave to Abraham. And in chapter 16 and in verse number 1, Abraham and Sarah grew impatient in waiting on God and decided to take matters into their own hands. And they began to stir strife. Look with me, verse 1. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abraham, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid the Egyptian, after Abraham had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Wish I had time to preach that whole story. But we know that God did bless Abraham and Sarah with a child by the name of Isaac. This other son that was born to Abraham and Hagar, because of impatience, was the name Ishmael. And to this day, the Arabs and the Jews hate each other to death. Why did that happen? Because Sarah and Abraham grew impatient in waiting on the blessings of God. Preacher, why are you preaching to me so deeply tonight about impatience? Because I want you to know that it runs all through the Word of God, and your flesh is filled with it. You will speak things you should not speak and act in manners you would not normally speak, all because you have grown impatient. In 2 Kings chapter 5, so, preacher, I get your drift. I'm ready for you to quit now. I'm not ready. I'll quit when God says I'm done. Don't grow impatient with me. Amen. The dangers of impatience will stall God's solution in your life. You hear me? God's answer may be hindered because of your impatience. In 2 Kings chapter number 5, we meet a man by the name of Naaman. We know that he is a leper, and he comes down to the man of God, Elisha. And Elisha, the Bible says in verse 10, Elisha sent a messenger unto him saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharphar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. He was impatient with the man of God. He said, Pharphar and Abana are better rivers than that muddy old Jordan River, and you want me to wash in it 7 times. Elisha didn't even come out to meet me, and he grew impatient, and he went away in a rage. Guess what his impatience did? When he came a leper, because he was impatient, he left that day a leper. His impatience did not obtain the blessing, but he left as a leper. Let's don't leave it there. His servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then would, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. See, impatience will keep you from being obedient to God. You may say, well, I can't stand up and testify because everybody else has testified. I can't come up and get anointed with oil because everybody else has been anointed with oil. I can't take the time to jump up and brag on the Lord because it's time to go home. How many times have I heard this? The sound of somebody's keys jangling. What does that mean, preacher? I'm ready to go home. Amen. Be patient one with another. What about when the storms come? In the book of Matthew, chapter number 7, we meet a foolish man. Verse 26, the Bible says that everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Preacher, why did he build on the sand? Because he was impatient. He wanted to take the shortcut. He wanted to do it the quick way. Hey, let's just get it going for now and just we'll just see what happens. Let me tell you what happens. The storms of life will come to an impatient man and his whole house will fall in. There was a train filled with people. They were weary travelers. They had traveled all day long, you know, on those slow-moving trains up through those mountain passes. There's no air conditioning. They're burned up. They're completely exhausted. And on board that passenger car, there was one man that had a little boy, a little baby, and he was holding that baby, and that baby just became restless. And you know, a baby will cry and cry and cry. And there's nothing when you become impatient like a baby crying. And it began to cause people to freak out on board that passenger train. And hour after hour passed, and finally, because a man couldn't take it anymore, this big old brawny man, he jumped up and spoke for the rest of the group and said, "Why, sir, don't you take that baby to its mother?" Complete silence on board the train. And the man said, "I'm sorry, sir. I'm doing my best. The baby's mother is in the casket in the baggage car before us, and I'm taking her to bury her. Please be patient with me." Awful silence again. And that big old brawny man who asked that question got out of his seat and went back to that motherless child and apologized for his impatience and his unkind remarks, and picked that baby up in his own arms, and he said to that father, he said, "Sir, I had no idea of your bereavement and of your brokenness. Would you allow me to hold this baby for you while you get some rest?" You see, we all grow impatient one with another, and we need to learn to think before we speak.